A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down, saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We began our Easter celebration last night with the Easter Vigil. It's a very beautiful Mass. It begins outside the doors of the church as we bless a new fire. And then from that fire is lit the Paschal candle. And that candle then is brought into the church. People light taper candles off of it to spread Christ's light throughout our church. And then I exclaimed the Easter proclamation, also referred to as the Exultet, saying that the appropriate response to all this is with great joy that we exclaim to God for all the wonders that he has done. And then we hear through the liturgy of the word some of those wonders. We hear about how God created the world. From the book of Genesis, we hear about how God saved his people from Pharaoh's army by parting the Red Sea and allowing them to go through. We hear from some of the prophets that talk about how water can be turned into living water, but through God's initiative. And then, of course, we finally hear about the resurrection of Jesus. And the reason why that Mass, as well as this one, is so full of joy because we recognize God's power to transform. After all, he transformed an instrument of torture and of execution, the cross, into redemption and salvation. God transforms us as well. It first began in the waters of baptism. We are washed clean of the punishment of original sin in these waters. We are offered the gift of eternal life. And then we are also incorporated into Christ's body, the church. All by being baptized in these waters in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are changed. We are changed by that sacrament. And in fact, the two ladies that joined the church last night during the Easter Vigil, they had already been baptized in other Christian faiths. And we recognize that they had already received the graces of baptism, and thus we did not baptize them, but we received them into the Catholic faith. And then, of course, another sacrament of initiation is what we are doing today, that of Holy Communion. It is called holy because bread and wine on this altar, we get changed into Christ's body and blood. He is truly present among us from that moment on. But it's also called communion because every time we celebrate the Eucharist, every time we receive Christ's body and blood, we are changed in that the bonds of unity that were first established through the sacrament of baptism are strengthened. The divisions that separate us are pushed aside, and we are renewed in our identity as sons and daughters of the living God, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, members of his body, the church. After all, Jesus wants us to be united, wants us to be a family, wants us to be one as I am one in you, Father, and you are one in me. I desire that they be one in us. And so every time we receive Holy Communion, we strengthen those bonds of unity. And then the final sacrament of initiation is that of confirmation. Through the anointing on the person's forehead, they receive the outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They receive gifts such as wisdom and strength and understanding and courage and right judgment and fear of the Lord. All of these gifts are abundantly given, so that the person may now be a fully initiated member of Christ's body, the church, but also have all the gifts that they need to be a disciple of Jesus, witnessing to the world. And so God gives us plenty of opportunities to be changed. But here's the rub. How many of us like change? I don't see a whole lot of hands going up. We do not like change because, after all, the status quo is very familiar to us. Change, by its definition, requires us now to take a different path. It may require us to respond with love to the love that God has for us. It may require us to set aside the sin that we so easily commit. And so we fight against that change that God is trying to make in us. We fight against those transformations that he is so willing and able to give us. But here's the thing. God created us. He created us out of love, and he implanted in each of us a desire to be close to him. When we decide to turn our back on God and reject him, we are filled with emptiness. We may try to fill that emptiness with the things of this world, with possessions or money or power or prestige, but nothing will ever satisfy us until we allow God to fill that emptiness with his love and his mercy. There is an ancient homily written for Easter, and it goes like this. Jesus speaking, I order you, O sleeper, to awake. I did not create you to be a prisoner held in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. Rise up, work of my hands, for you were created in my image. Rise, let us leave this place, for you are in me, and I am in you. Together we form only one person, and we cannot be separated. My dear friends, this beautiful excerpt from that homily reminds us of an important truth that we believe, that God created each and every one of us in his likeness, each and every one of us is precious to him, and we can only be truly happy and truly satisfied if we are with him, if we foster the personal relationship he wants for each and every one of us. After all, he decided to send his son to break down the great barrier that existed between the human family and their God ever since our creation. Because of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, not only are the gates of heaven flung open, but also the gates of the abode of the dead, which Jesus went down to and brought forth all of the righteous ones, bringing them into eternal life. Generation after generation of the human family could not experience God's personal friendship, but we can because of what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. My dear friends, when we heard in today's gospel reading, we heard some of Jesus' closest disciples. They were confused. They were frightened. They didn't understand what had happened. They didn't understand why Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. But they came to believe and understand that he had been raised from the dead. And because of that, the human family could now experience eternal life in heaven. My dear friends, this is the source of our great joy, not just for today on Easter, but each and every day of our life. To know that God continues to work in our lives, changing us into his adopted sons and daughters. To know that the Son of God was willing to give up his very life so that we could be considered brothers and sisters of his, members of his body, the church. And we, of course, recognize the work of the Spirit, who continues to be the agent of change in our life. If we allow the Spirit and God to change us, we will truly be happy, we will truly be satisfied, as we await the day when Jesus will greet us in heaven. O sleeper, awake. I did not create you to be held a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead.